Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology with our special guest, Saturn, speaking to you. And we are three astrologers who get together, and along with our friend Saturn, we will entertain you this evening.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mark Wolf, speaking from New York City.
And Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk with Handsome the Cat sitting right here causing trouble.
And out there in St. Paul.
Yep, this is Heather Rowan-Robin speaking to you from the banks of the Mississippi, the northern banks.
The northern banks of the Mississippi. Very cool.
Yeah, you can't quite jump across it, but it's not that big up there.
Yeah, well, at the moment, you could almost wade across it. It's so dry, it's about a third of the size that it normally is.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had heard that they're catching really big catfish now because it's so deep, you know, it's so...
I've seen huge ones leap near the edge of the water.
Yeah.
It is pretty amazing.
Wow.
To walk across the bottom. Normally, you know, we're walking now where we would normally be over our heads in water.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's still a big river.
Yeah. Very
There's
cool.
a lot of water missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's very cool.
Well, maybe Saturn and Scorpio will bring some water back.
That would be nice. When Saturn joins both, and Mercury both head into Scorpio. I'm hoping that Saturn and Scorpio will bring a lot of work. I think it will bring a lot of work. I think both economic work and relationship work, cultural work. You know, Saturn and Scorpio, as it heads in next week, really wants us to get real and get down to it, and what for good or ill, it may, you know, inspire a lot of obsessing. But I'm seeing a chance to really dig our teeth into the work of our life in the next couple of years.
Yeah,
a lot of it will come with kind of a last chance feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
all or none. This mm-hmm. is it. I've been, mm-hmm. you know, vacillating. Especially with the mm-hmm. Saturn in Libra, you know, kind of the back and forth weighing things. We're done with weighing. You just put all your weight on one side of the scale and hope for the...
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. But I went back the last three times that Saturn went into Scorpio, and all three times we were digging ourselves out of a financial depression, and we did well. Right after the Depression, 1924 to 1927.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I was born, the 1954 to 56, which was a real boom time. And then, you know, there was a depression in the early 1980s, 1981, 82, and which we came out of with a bang in 83 to 85 when Saturn was in Scorpio.
Yes.
So it's really interesting to see. And it's not about everything. It's not Jupiterian. It's not like everything gets easy. It's hard work. People work hard and they get themselves out.
Right.
And you find new structures. You find ways to restructure and change what's not working. Mm-hmm. A real sense.
And it may be because of that last chance feeling that you were describing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the now or never feeling.
Right.
Yeah, and also end of an era on something.
Mm-hmm.
There's a willingness to let go. You know, because
mm-hmm.
Saturn is a good pruner, and Scorpio doesn't have regrets.
Yes.
So you lop off a limb and you just say, well, that's gone. We don't know what it would have been like if we tried to keep it. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's officially dead now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I also was reminded, because I lost a lot of friends during the AIDS epidemic. This was also the epidemic. You know, it was an epidemic, and there was also a big... polio epidemic when we were born, Heather, in that 50s.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so I think I think we'll see a decent-sized epidemic come rolling through, too. And we haven't had a good one in you know, you want one, but we haven't had one in a good long time. And, you know, so to me it's just kind of that'll be interesting to see if that's how it shows up. Because it is, you know, it's the death energy or the transformation through illness or something very paralyzing, profound. You know, you really go through a deep transformation.
Well, yeah, and there are some candidates around with, you know, penicillin-resistant strains of this and that, you know.
Well, I'm thinking cell phones because of the Uranus-Pluto square. you know, because
yeah.
Bill Clinton
mm-hmm.
signed that legislation in the 96, I think it was, that you couldn't regulate against them. You know, you couldn't sue the cell phone companies for brain tumors. And my father goes on about, you know, he's a neurologist. He's like, they're going to cause brain tumors. And, of course, all the early adapters like Johnny Cochran and all those guys have already gone from brain tumors. So I think we're going to see a big swell in that with the Pluto-Uranus square. And they read, you know, you can't sue us. Imagine if the smoking companies had said, no, you can't sue us for lung cancer, even if our product causes it, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I'll be curious to see if that's one of the manifestations of it, because it's also mutual reception, you know, Saturn and mutual reception, which what that means is the planets can swap places and they can become other planets. So they have this, mm-hmm. they become the other planet. So Pluto's going to be in the Capricorn decant, which is kind of the dictator decant. So we're going to find
mm-hmm.
people being a little more predatory or a little more difficult. And I also think it's a land grab. When I was in Florida for my uncle's funeral, they had a thing about Blackstone, the investment house, spending $1 billion to buy property, distressed property in the Tampa area, which was going to let them buy 15,000 homes that they were going to then be able to rent to people. And I thought, wow, yeah, all those distressed properties that people can't afford anymore, you know, it's kind of like the way they took over the farms back when you died, you had to pay the tax and you couldn't afford it, so the companies bought the farms. Now they're going after the houses. So I think it's going to be interesting times, you know, really,
yeah.
really interesting times. Fascinating, in fact, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, because so many things are at the end of their paradigm.
Yes.
We need whole new patterns on things. So that's why we need the Scorpio and Pluto and Capricorn energy, and then Uranus over there upsetting things, showing us radically what doesn't work.
What doesn't work anymore. This isn't working. You have to get rid of this. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a big change shift. Hi, handsome. You have a cat on the keyboard, so let me move the keyboard so we don't whack out the Blog Talk Radio station. The other thing I noticed this week is Mars going into the North Node of the North Node, because it's going to hit that tomorrow night. And I think, you know, it's the dragon's head. I always love the Vedic description of it, that it's a dragon's head and that K2 is the tail. So I kind of think of it as a fire-breathing dragon. It leads us to our destiny, and kind of like dragons, you know, you can't really stop them. They're just big and they go where they want to go. And so I kind of was looking at that as a really interesting energy to be entering the first debates with, because we also have the
mm-hmm.
debates this week. The first
of
the presidential debates is on Wednesday when the nodes are stationing. So, you know, it's really kind of an interesting week. Plus we have five planets changing signs this week, Mercury, Venus, Pallas
mm-hmm.
Athena, well, she's an asteroid, but she counts, Saturn and Mars. That's a lot of activity.
I mean, exciting week. Very different energy starting next week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting watching with Mercury joining Saturn, and they move together into Scorpio and trining Neptune as they do so.
Yes.
And just as Mars goes out of Scorpio. Now, I'm kind of happy to see Mars out of Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting and intense as it is, it really brings that deep bass note, and I've, you know, really appreciated some of the emotional depths, so I always tend to feel a little on the, like, emotional overload with
yeah.
that, with Mars and Scorpio.
I always feel like they're trying to drown you, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm
going
to drown you now.
Drowned.
It's like, no, you're not. I'm getting away from you. Leave me
the
alone.
The basement's filling up with water, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that Mars and Scorpio can really bring out the revenge, you know, function, the suspicion and revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd much rather have Mercury Saturn there, which is maybe obsessive and, you know, our minds tend to overfocus on one thing. But Mars and Scorpio has been underneath fueling all of the, you know, Middle Eastern revenge fantasies
yes,
against
yeah.
America for what they perceived happened with that anti-Islam movie. It has been really fueling that kind of vindictive streak in many places, and the anti-Islam posters in the New York subways. It's really fueling, you know, unforgivable qualities.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, luckily Mars is heading into Sagittarius a few days after Mercury and Saturn head into Scorpio, kind of lightening up the load. You know, it's definitely Warrior for Truth energy, definitely time to speak up, and some interesting facts should come up to light in the last few weeks of the campaign mm-hmm. here. But that Mercury-Saturn says, you know, a decision you make now is for real.
Yes.
I think some people are going to be saying, I'm ending my job, or I'm going to start this project and get to and actually finish at this time. Mm-hmm. And other people are saying, I'm, you know, if I say goodbye to this person in my life now, I mean it this time.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting what that Mercury-Saturn conjunction in Scorpio, but try Neptune. So there's a real strong sense of spiritual discipline that can be helpful and supportive during this time,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and a chance to put some real discipline focus onto our creative process, which I'm excited about in the week ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think it also, when we see that Mercury-Saturn, or, you know, a couple days before that, that energy as they all change signs, Venus and Saturn are also talking on Tuesday. So there's a lot of conversations with Saturn this week. It's kind of like, well, what's your life? You know, what do you want in your life? And what's the new structures you're going to put in? You know, you could have blown out some people or released some situations or people that weren't working for you anymore. And you kind of said, well, okay, that one's done. And, you know, that used to take a lot of time doing this, that, or the other. And now I'm done with that. I don't have to do that anymore. And next, you know, so it's kind of, it's big. I think of it as kind of a renewal. And also Venus and Saturn, when they have their date tomorrow night, you know, there's a lovely sextile where they're both, she's still in Leo and he's still in Libra. They're going to have a chat and they're going to say, hey, you know, like, it was fun, but, you know, we're parting now. Catch you around, you know, 29 years from now. Now let's go. And then Mars comes, of course, and says to Scorpio, okay, I'm taking over. I'm the lead now. And now we're going to be talking, I'm going to be working with you for the next 3 years. So it's kind of like Venus passes the baton to Mars this week and says to him, okay, let's go. What are we doing? Where are we going? So it's understanding that it's really a very big week of change for all of us. And mm-hmm. really knowing that it can feel a little turbulent because we have five planets changing signs, four planets stationing. I mean, I count Hades and Kronos. They're both stationing this week. They're kind of undiscovered points that not everybody uses, but I like them. And then the nodes are stationing and Jupiter's stationing this week too. And Heather, you always do brilliant things about the Neptune stuff. So we have a lot of Neptune this week too. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I can. I want to give out the number though. I'm going to ask people tonight if they're going to call in to have not called in the last 3 months, because I'd like to give people that don't normally call in a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So, Anne, can you give out that
number? I will give out the number, 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881.
Remember, okay. If you press 1.
Yeah, and then you have to press,
Then we know you want to be called on. Otherwise, you can just stay and listen.
You can just lurk and listen.
Right.
So with all these planets changing sign at the same time, they're all ringing off each other because they're going to be at the same degree of a sign. And October 3rd, Venus enters Virgo and opposes Neptune. And Neptune's sort of waiting at the edge, the first degree of the sign now, so it's waiting to attack or affect any planet as it changes sign. But first, Venus opposed Neptune, wonderful for imagination. I think I'm already hearing from people, and I'm noticing the signs myself, where I start daydreaming and imagining. It's the, what if I won the lottery? Or I wonder if what would happen to this? Or let me act out my worst case scenario. Let me think about it. Let me imagine the very best. I'm hearing people being less realistic in relationship, both like, it's so wonderful when I can see that it's not, or, you know, suspicious when it isn't, and just letting their imagination run away with them. So whenever we're dealing with Neptune challenges as we are now. Next week, Neptune is supportive of Mercury and Saturn. But Neptune challenges right now, we really need to direct it carefully, to give our imagination a safe place to go and say, here, imagination, play in this safe sand pile. Stay out of my relationship and stay out of my checkbook. You know, stay at, direct it well. And, you know, we are challenged with that to take a more spiritual approach, not a less realistic approach, not pretending something is better than it is, not moving into a more codependent situation and do someone's work for them or talk ourselves into thinking that they are healthier than they are, but to really see it clearly and to bring our spirituality into this. I've noticed when tonight there was a television show holding up half the sky. It's a repeat on NPR on women's rights around the globe and gender-based warfare and gender crimes and how supporting the women in most cultures ends up supporting the evolution of the culture.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, because the mothers that raise the children are healthier and sounder and making better decisions. So I thought that was a wonderful example of the Venus-Neptune opposition, was is honoring the anima or the idealism of the feminine within the culture and what it has to bear, what it can bring. But we also see Venus oppose Neptune, what happens when they are victims, because Neptune's, you know, shadow side has to do with being a victim or feeling like a martyr. And in many cases, what they were talking about tonight, it really was where women are the victim and are martyred,
right,
to a societal understanding. So we can step away from that. We can see that paradigm and choose away from feeling like a victim or a martyr or getting lost in our imagination and choose instead to use our imagination well, to believe in the possible, but keep our eyes open for what's actually happening in the present,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for being challenged in any awkward situation, not to gloss it over, but to really bring spirit to bear.
To bring spirit to bear on the situation, yeah.
Whatever situation would make us want to be escapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And next week we're going to see, or a little bit later on this week, on the 6th, Mars enters Sagittarius, and then Mars will be square Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help us on the 7th, will help us let go of some old anger and some old frustrations, but can leave us wondering, what are we going to be doing?
Right.
Okay, a little. We can also lower our immune system for a while. So I would ask everybody with Venus and Mars, both in mutable signs, to take good care of your health. Don't get overextended. Don't get overtired. Little rests throughout the day. And really support your immune system while Mars is being challenged by Neptune.
Right. And Mark, what would you say to people about, you know, this week? What did you notice that the overriding advice you'd give folks?
Well, the Saturn change, and then also all these Neptune things and the changing signs, and the sense that every time that the planets change signs now, they're dealing with Neptune. So it does, Neptune is really kind of like the keeper of the gate, and except there are a bunch of different gates depending on what the aspect is. But whatever gate these planets come through, there's Neptune. And so we are dealing with Neptune's shadow side and ideal side as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the way through our lives, that's what we have to look at.
Right.
If you're going to the movies, enjoy the movies with the Venus
mm-hmm.
opposition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But also observe how the movie was made.
Right.
If you're paying attention, you'll see a little more of the decisions that went into piecing that together. Because remember, there are hours and hours of film left over on the editing room floor. So ask yourself, you know, how did this actually get made? What were the decisions? How did the message get put together?
Right.
And that's instructive.
Yeah, because that's an instructive component of Neptune. It also because, I mean, I always think of Neptune as when you're driving in a foggy day. You know, when I was raised upstate, you know, we get some really wicked fogs. And, you know, the fog kind of moves, especially when you're driving at night, and it kind of moves around, and it's like this, you know, sometimes it moves into the trees. And in fact, the world always looked very different when it was under Neptune's sway. It's got an illusion to it or an anonymousness to it, which I think is really beautiful. So, and I think it's a gentle, I mean, I had class tonight, and, you know, a couple of my students were, like, really wiped. You know, the energy is just very draining. And then a couple others were, like, flying, you know, so it was, we had a lot of fun in class.
You know, there was also major solar flares that
hit
Earth left.
Yes.
And so whenever we see those big coronal mass ejections, and the sun is very active right now, and we never can predict those, but it happened a couple of days ago, and was supposed to hit about midnight last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel it coming the day before. And so there's been some electronic and static today and some interruptions, but not bad. But still, whenever those happen, I see people act exhausted. So like they've been in the wind.
Yeah.
You know, it shears off a few ions along the edges.
Mm-hmm.
But it brings a large burst of energy, like the wind, here on Earth. But we can react to that energy burst with tiredness.
Right.
Because it can be draining.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have the right conduit for it, but others may just feel really drained.
Really drained.
I just noticed that as a
the side effect. Yeah. Very cool. All right, so let's see if we have any callers. We do. We have callers. So I will click on a Joyzy girl or guy. Hi, 201-388. We're trying to pick you up. I have a new internet modem. Yep, there you are. Hi, how are you? You're on the air.
Good. How are you? Hello.
Good.
How are you?
Good.
My name is Barbara.
Barbara,
and
hi.
My birthday is 6761 at 2:32 p.m.
Okay.
Okay, could you
repeat that? You said 6769.
No, 6761.
61.
Okay.
At 2:32 p.m.
2:32.
Say the time again.
P.m.
2:32 p.m.
2:32 p.m. Okay, cool.
And where were you born?
Newark, New Jersey.
Okay.
That one we heard. That's good. We got Newark. Yeah, it's the numbers that get us.
What's your question tonight?
Okay. Well, I have a lot of stuff going on. I got an awful lot of stuff going on. But right now, I am concerned about the Neptune in my fifth house with my children. And I also wanted to question, how do you handle the Venus-Saturn square?
How to handle the Uranus-Saturn square and then Neptune on the south node in your sixth house. Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well,
right. May
761. Go ahead, Anne.
I'm just confirming May 761 because it's Neptune in the sixth. Not, I don't have it in the fifth. I have it in the sixth, which is more your pets and your daily routines. But the Uranus
was it May or June that you were born?
It was June. No, it was
June. Okay, good. That's why I was
June.
Okay.
Right. That's
that'll do it. That'll make the difference.
Right. What I was seeing on that. You have Mercury at 8 degrees of Cancer, and at the top of the chart, and an 8 degree Cancer midheaven, and the Moon in Aries in the seventh house at 10 degrees.
Yeah.
So Pluto, you know, today and yesterday, the Sun just came out of your 12th house and went over your ascendant in the last couple of days. So there's new. You spent a month kind of doing some deep inner work, and now you got to get active. The sun is opposing your moon, so that's stirring up some of the family issues.
Ooh.
Pluto is opposing your Mercury and squaring your moon, and it's off by a degree, but it's still well within orbit. and Uranus is coming up to your moon. So you've got a lot of changes just about to happen in the family. With Neptune on your south node, you know, you tend, it looks like to me, and how old are your children?
30 and 32.
Okay, you tend to do too much for your kids.
Thank you.
That moon in Aries, you know, you have a strong psychic bond with, you know, whether you like it or not, with your mother and with your kids. And it's hot and cold sometimes. That Mercury at the top of the chart, you know what everybody needs to do. You can be very proactive and very protective. But you have to, with that Neptune on that south node, you've got strong karmic connections with your family, with your kids.
Oh,
Neptune, south node, Chiron in the sixth. But it's really time for you to step back and believe in them. And redirect your moon energy elsewhere so it keeps itself busy, as if your kids have to really, they have to, you know, break any codependency with you and really find themselves rather than lean on your strength or rebel against you or argue with you, but just really find themselves in a new way. And you have to believe in them. But this, in order to do that, you're going to have to keep your energy very busy.
Yeah, I'm going to have to keep it to myself.
Right.
Because
you're going to have to
get it out.
It's not get some. You have to put it someplace else. Find a cause that needs all of that energy and put yourself into that. Somebody out there needs the very things that your kids need you to not do for a while.
Wow. That's what I needed to
do. Somebody out there needs all your managing, all your love, all your attention, all your awareness, all your strength. And if you can put it there and let your kids find their own, then you can, you know, be with them again in a healthy, in an easier way, and they will start to believe in their own strength.
You also want to look at this next 7 years as preparing you for basically a life change, the way that you're going to live your life. Because you'll have your second Saturn return in seven years, and you're getting the closing square now as Saturn leaves Libra. And so Saturn is inviting you to make whatever changes will set you up for the next cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a nice period of time, 7 years, to do that. So look around you in your life and see, what do I need to do to sort of wrap up what I've been doing and allow me to shift? And it doesn't mean you have to not do what you're doing anymore, but you'll have a different way of going about it. You'll be called upon in a different way.
Wow.
Right. And if you go back to 83, 84, you were putting down roots back then, probably for the kids. Now Saturn's going through your second house, so he's going to be talking to you about let's build a new structure for yourself, for your life, for the next 29 years. Or come up with, not really necessarily the old structure goes away. You can make a lot of money doing it or still do it, but there's a new call for work. And with your Uranus-Pluto straddling that north node, you know, it's definitely something with groups, and maybe the Uranus-Pluto waking your chart up is because it's going to go into your 7th house and it's down in your 4th. It's really foundational in your relationships to others, and how you're going to get out in the group and maybe help other people build the changes they need to see in their lives. So you've got a really lot of really interesting transits coming. So I wouldn't worry about that Neptune on the south node other than to say, let me figure out how to let go and let God or let fate take over. And I can go do other things with all my wonderful energy, because this is a great chart for doing any kind of community organizing or leadership stuff, because it's, you know, you just can get in there and get people moving.
Yeah, well, I work with people with disabilities, so they love me.
Yeah,
totally
do.
They need
you. They need you, and
they
also
absolutely need how magnificent you are at this.
They love me.
Mm-hmm. So it's good. So it's a good way to get to do it for your work, because then you're paid for it, which is always nice. But it also is it's you're good at it. You know, it's a real gift of your chart. Yeah. Yeah.
And it looks like you might be moving into some more managerial position, like training people to do what you do and really seeing changes that to be made in the system and finding a good way of doing it.
Right.
I guess we have to say goodnight now.
Yep,
though,
the British lady's talking.
Our show is over.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
This is Access Astrology signing off. Mark Woltz, New York City.
And Ann Ortley, New York City, at my bright red desk with handsome lying here, all stretched out, getting a nice belly rub.
And Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota. Feel free to contact any of us if you need a personal reading.
Yeah, definitely. And Mark and I speak at East-West, or not East-West, sorry, that's closed. We speak at the Open Center on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 7:30. Heather, are you doing anything
in
Minneapolis?
At my house, I have a class here at my house. And tomorrow night, anybody is welcome, drop in chart clinic.
Cool. Very
great.
Cool. Yeah. So we'll catch you all next week. Take care. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.